dispersion. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. We turn our time over to Gilbert.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As I said earlier, we are from the Abbotsford Seventh-day Adventist Church, and we've been here before. Thank you. You see,
amen.
We recognize the people. And last weekend, you probably didn't know, but last weekend we were at Camp Hope, actually. It was the 53rd Filipino Association of Adventist Believers in British Columbia. It was a camp meeting. And our family was there, for we attended amongst, I think we have some friends here that was there too. And at this camp meeting, you usually stay late. And then, you know, because we were staying late, lack of sleep, and so we caught a cold, and now we've been suffering this whole week. We've been trying to fight that flu and cold. But anyways, praise God that we are here.
Amen.
I see young people, a few young people here. When you become an adult and take on more responsibilities in life, you'll notice that time goes very quickly. Isn't that true, Brother Stephen?
Yes.
Yes. And as you get older, you'll discover that 24 hours is not enough in a day. When you have a career, when you have a family and bills to pay, you'll find yourself constantly lacking time at the end of the day. Isn't that true for most of us? This morning, I want to begin with these passages in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. We'll just go there quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14, it says, indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. Colossians 1:16 added, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created through him and for him. Now, these passages establish a foundational truth that everything in the universe belongs to God. We are simply caretakers. God has entrusted us with resources, relationships, abilities, and opportunities, and especially time. And one day, he will ask us how we manage them. You see, all of us are different. We have different cultural backgrounds. We have different family upbringings. We have different professions. We have different economic situations, and on and on. But one thing, we all have the same. We have the same amount of time. God has given us the same amount of time in the day, and managing our time is just as important as managing our finances. God wants us to manage our time wisely, but managing time sometimes can be very difficult, and often we don't seem to have enough of it. Do you agree so far?
Yes.
I haven't lived too long yet. I'm not as old as you think. But I found this to be true. You know, every day, like, we wish we have more time. And all the blessings we have, all the resources we have, all the material possessions we have, the extent or the degree to which we can enjoy them or have those provide meaningful value to our lives is dependent on whether we have time. If we don't have time, our possessions are meaningless. So time is very important. Unfortunately, we human beings, as we know, have but a limited amount of time. No wonder we want our travel time to be faster and shorter, and our internet connections at home lightning speed. Our computers and cell phones today are becoming very efficient. Engineers, scientists, and software developers constantly coming up with gadgets and applications to help us save time. Why? Well, for the purpose of giving us more time to spend on material possessions and worldly pleasures. But for some reason, the faster the cars we drive and the more time-saving devices we have, the less free time we have. Isn't that true? When I moved to Abbotsford in 1996, amongst the many things that were new to me and so disorientating is what happens on every first Sunday of March and every second Sunday of November. What is that? Yes, that's time change, specifically a daylight saving time. This is the day when we must adjust our clocks to 1 hour ahead in March and 1 hour backward in November. See, I had never heard of daylight saving time. Countries near the equator, such as the Philippines, the length of day and night is pretty much consistent throughout the year. And so this was new and confusing to me when I arrived in Abbotsford. You know, the Bible verse that came to my mind at that time was Daniel 7:25, Pastor Greg. Speaking about the beast, the prophet Daniel wrote, "He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law." Times and law. So I was thinking at that time that daylight saving time was also a fulfillment of this prophecy. Of course, I know. Well, maybe you can study that more. Perhaps it could be one of those. So I did a quick research on daylight saving time, who came up with it, and what was the purpose. See, many people credited Benjamin Franklin as the originator of daylight saving time when he wrote to the editor of the journal in Paris in 1784. He said that the Parisians, by simply waking up at dawn and using sunshine instead of candles, could save the economy a lot of money. He made calculations based on the number of candles burned during the 6 months from March to September that the economy could save a modern-day equivalent of $200 million. See, this was before electricity. Benjamin Franklin proposed a change in sleeping schedule, not changing time itself, but adjusting clocks forward and backward. But because of this, he is erroneously given the honor of inventing the daylight saving time. It was actually a guy named William Willett, an English man who campaigned to implement daylight saving time in the United Kingdom. Germany was the first country to enact daylight saving time in 1916. Just stay with me. During World War I, the Germans wanted to conserve fuel in producing weapons and bombs in their factories. They advanced their clocks 1 hour beginning April until the following October. That way, they had more daylight, thus more productive hours to create the bombs needed for their military operations. Now, Canada first observed daylight saving time in 1908. Get this, it is up to the legislation in its municipality in Canada to decide on the use of daylight saving time. As a result, there are some locations that don't follow daylight saving time. For example, like us in Vancouver, Hope, Abbotsford, and the entire Fraser Valley, we use daylight saving time. But some locations in the province, in British Columbia, do not. This includes Fort Nelson, for St. John and many others, they don't follow daylight saving time. I did not know that. And so it can be confusing when you travel to different places. In the Yukon Territory, daylight saving time was permanent on March 8, 2020. And today, there are approximately 70 countries using daylight saving time. By the way, did you know that last March of this year, British Columbia ended the observance of daylight saving time, we no longer have to move our clocks forward and backward. That's a relief, because I was not good at that. What was the purpose of daylight saving time? The purpose of daylight saving time was to save money and to gain 1 hour a day. 1 hour a day of extra of sunlight. But it is not saving energy as they thought. According to one research, an extra hour a day increases recreational activity, which results in greater gasoline consumption. When it was first enacted, the golf ball sales increased exponentially. People stay out and play golf. Michael Downing, a professor at Tufts University who wrote the article Spring Forward, says, daylight saving time is a loser as an energy plan, but it's a fantastic retail spending plan. So what do most people today do with an extra hour? They use it for shopping. How about you? What will you do with an extra hour? About 4 years ago, I resigned my job at Langley School District, a job I held for 15 years. You all understand that if you stay in one organization for 5, 10, or 15 years, you'll develop friendships. I've gotten efficient in my role and responsibilities. I became familiar with the organization's policies and culture. I made lots of friends, and basically, my work became a second family. So leaving that job was very emotional. Risa and I prayed about it for many weeks. See, leaving a stable job is difficult. You know, moving to a new company has risks. What if I don't like my new role? What if I don't like the people I'll be working with, or they won't like me? What if the schedule is not flexible and the organization do not provide opportunities to grow? All the what ifs. So this is where I need faith. Faith that God will work things out for me and my family and sustain me through this transition. We prayed for God's leading, and God opened an opportunity, so I should take it. Reese says to me that we say we have faith, but how do we know we have faith if everything in our lives is going smoothly? Sometimes we must take risks and allow God to grow our faith. James 1 verses 2 and 3 says, this verse that gave me strength and courage during that time, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So with full faith, I accepted a job in the city of Abbotsford. I am now employed by the city of Abbotsford, and so far, it has been good, and I'm praising God every day. When I was working in Langley, my commute was 35 minutes minimum. And coming home in the afternoon, especially on Fridays, it was 45 minutes. So every workday, I spent 1.5 hours in my car commuting. So now, my commute is reduced to about 5 to 7 minutes. So by working for the city of Abbotsford, I gained back 1 hour of my day. Remember that, 1 hour of my day. So what am I doing with my 1 hour extra? You ask. Thank you for asking. Now, I don't have to rush in the morning. Usually, as soon as we wake up and finish our morning devotional, we rush to shower, eat breakfast, and leave. Now, I have time to take our dog out for a walk in the morning. I can get to my office earlier and have a few minutes to read my Bible and pray before I take my first responsibility. And on top of that, I can come home for lunch if I want to. I am thankful to have gained this extra hour of my day. So, what will you do with an extra hour. I want us to open our Bibles. Jesus tells a parable about a vineyard owner, and it's found in Matthew chapter 20. And our scripture reading was read, but in this chapter, but let's start with from verse 1. And it begins this way. Okay, that's Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. In verse 1, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went." Verse 5. "Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those who came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'This last man have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." It is amazing. Thank you for that children's story this morning, because obviously it was talking about the same thing. I was even thinking that, well, there's the message. I should not even come up and speak. But thank you. That was amazing. But let me digress here for a moment. You will notice that most of Jesus' parables that talks about money or economics are found in the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, there are parables that talk about money or economics that are only recorded in Matthew. For example, the parable of the pearl, the parable of the hidden treasure, and the parable of the unforgiving servant. You know, I can't help but wonder if Matthew, who in chapter 10 is identified as a former tax collector, would have been drawn to the teachings of Jesus that involved money. Yeah. Parables that involved economics and money could have easily resonated with Matthew as a former tax collector. But anyway, let's come back to the parable. There are so many applications we can draw out from this parable, but this morning, I just want to zoom in on the last group of workers, the 11th hour workers, okay? So what's described here in this story is the vineyard owner going out to the marketplace, okay, to find laborers early in the morning at daybreak. That's around 6 a.m., okay? Matthew says, when the landowner and the laborers agreed a wage of 1 denarius, he sent them to his vineyard to begin work at 6 a.m. That's too early for me. My work doesn't even start at 8. Then he needed more workers, so he goes out to the marketplace a few more times. The New King James Version says that he went out at around the 3rd hour, the 6th hour, and the 9th hour. So 3, 6, and 9. Then again at the 11th hour. So other versions translate this into our modern language, which would be at 9 a.m., that's the 3rd hour, then at 12 noon, which is the 6th hour, then he goes out again at 3 p.m., and at 5 p.m., that's the 11th hour. So each time he goes out, he brings in more laborers as he finds these men standing idle in the marketplace and invites them to come and work in his field. Okay? So with the first group, the masters agreed a daily wage. But the other group don't talk about wages. When time comes to paying the workers, everyone receives the same amount of pay, but not everyone is happy. We all know this parable. This story is very familiar to most of us. You'll notice that they work a 12-hour day shift, not 8-hour, like we have today. Imagine if we work 12-hour day without overtime pay. I would be complaining. I guess our working hours are so much better in our current economy. I want to point out two things. First, the concept of fairness, which our children's story was pointed out. The concept of fairness. You see, we live in the world where we talk about fairness. And fairness becomes an issue when the other groups felt that they were not getting what they deserve. We read that they agreed to work for one denarius, and they received one denarius. But why were they complaining? Well, they were complaining because they expected that working longer would result in bigger pay. Is the landowner being unfair? That was the question earlier. No, the problem is our view of fairness is not how Jesus view fairness. How we view fairness is emotional. Our responses are not based on biblical principle. It's all about getting what I want. What benefit will I get from this? And it really is the kind of approach that Satan has in all that he does. Another problem is how we view fairness is based on an inflated perception of what I think I deserve. What I think I deserve. You see, Satan felt that he deserved to be a ruler over God. And he is even now planning to try again to get that position by whatever means possible. But in contrast, Jesus' concept of fairness is based on his generosity and limitless grace. The second point I wanted to highlight is in this parable is the concept of time. This is really what I want to focus on, particularly on the last group of workers, okay? Because this ties in with our theme of stewardship. The 11-hour workers in verse 6, we read that they have been standing all day. They've been standing all day. So why were they standing all day? Was it because there were too many laborers and few employers? Maybe. The story does not say, but it just says that no one hired them. That's what they said. So why did no one hire them? Why did no one hire them? Today, we can come up with many reasons why no one hired them. Perhaps these people were not the best looking bunch. Perhaps they were not the most educated and qualified people. Perhaps they were not the most experienced. Perhaps they were too old, or too young, newly baptized, non-vegetarian, or vegan. The list goes on. Whatever the reason was, nobody hired them. In our Christian life, too, we may see people at church standing idle all day. We may ask the same questions. Why are they standing idle all day? Perhaps nobody asked them to be part of a ministry. Nobody asked them to do a special music or tell children stories or do anything in the church. So they are just standing there all day. Friends, if you feel that this is you, please come to the marketplace. Come to the marketplace where the vineyard owner can find you and hire you for his vineyard. If you feel that no one has asked you to be a part of a ministry, please approach your church elders. Talk to Stephen.
Amen.
Or one of the ministry leaders. Stephen has worked for you.
Amen.
So no one hired them. In verse 7, the vineyard owner tells them, you two go into the vineyard. And what did they do? They went. These people could have said, Master, the day is almost over. It's 11th hour. Yeah. What is the use? There is only 1 hour left. 1 hour is not enough to work in your vineyard. I cannot accomplish much in 1 hour. Is that what they said? No, quite the opposite. They went to work in the vineyard. Here, the Bible says they went to work in the vineyard. Friends, I want us to have the character of willingness like this 11-hour workers, ready to work even if the day has 1 hour left. Instead of saying, well, nobody hired me sooner, so I may as well go home. No one asked me to be a deacon or a Sabbath school teacher, so I will yes to that ministry. Nobody appreciates what I do. I may as well not get involved in church completely. The 11th hour group could have said that there's no more point in going to work. It's almost the end of the day. 1 hour is not enough to do anything. They could have refused and gone home. Instead, the 11th hour group went to work in the vineyard. Brothers and sisters, the master wants us to work in his vineyard, even with just 1 hour left. Amen. When the pastor or a church board member, a nominating committee, call asking if you can lead or be part of a ministry, we say no. Sometimes I do that. Because why? Sorry, pastor, I don't have time, is our answer. And for some of us, that is true. We live a busy life. But God is limited. He has ways to give us time. Sometimes he provides solution to our lack of time. But we don't realize. The solution may be, just like my situation, leaving the job I held for 15 years and working for a new company closer to home. Yours could be different. Perhaps your work schedule has changed, or your work hours are reduced. Maybe your kids are finally school age and you have no more daycare at home. Or you got a promotion with a salary increase and you don't have to take a second job. Your company is laying off and you are one of them. Whatever situation you may be going through, God, in his limitless wisdom, could be using that to give you time. Perhaps God is allowing this change in your life so you can call your pastor and say, Pastor, guess what? I now have time. I can now be part of that ministry. I can finally take that church responsibility that we have been trying to fill for so long. And if you have done that, bless your heart. But you know what happens? Sometimes we don't pray and ask God what he would have us do with an extra time. Instead, when we have extra time, we take that extra shift. We take an evening job. We pick up new hobbies. We take that trip we've been planning for years. Isn't that right? Friends, God wants us to give some of our time working in his vineyard. You know, he does not insist we work every waking hour in the vineyard. He only wants to give us opportunity to work even at the last hour. So the question is, what will you do with an extra hour? Wait, I am not suggesting that for a second that we should only give 1 hour of our time to God. No, I am not saying that we will wait for the 11th hour to go work in God's vineyard. No, what I am saying is, whatever amount of time you have now, a day or an hour, give that to God. Go work in the vineyard. It doesn't matter how plenty or how little time you have. Besides, no matter what we do, no matter how hard we try, our efforts barely amounts to nothing anyway. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, all our righteousness are like filthy rags, so it doesn't matter. But the good news is, in God's economy, the rule is reversed. The one single hour you labor for the master's vineyard is worth a full day wage. That seemingly unimportant ministry that you do will be paid a full day. That simple happy Sabbath and a smiling face you saw on Sabbath morning, that very simple greetings card you mail every month to members who needed encouragement, the lunch invites, which you're welcome to do today, you are extending to a guest on a Sabbath, the pamphlet and glow track you give away on your walkabout, that little amount of money you give for God's ministry, the time you spend with the children in the Sabbath school or any other ministries, to you, that may seem very little. To you, it may be insignificant to even mention. Sure, it's not worth much by the world standard, but if we are working for the Heavenly Master, that small amount is going to be multiplied 100 times. Just like the 11th hour workers who went to work in the master's vineyard, when the day is over, you will receive a full reward. So in God's economy, less is more and more is less. The last will be first and first last. So then it is not so important how many hours we work, but rather our willingness to work. We sometimes miss many opportunities because we think we don't have time. We think we won't make a difference. But all the Master is asking us is to use our time and to use our talents. See, another parable Jesus shared with his disciples found in Matthew 25. About a certain man going on a trip and leaving these three servants with some talents in mind. This is the parable of talents. He gave five to another, to one, and to another he gave two, and to another he gave one. So to the one who received five, used it and brought another five. So did the servant who received two. But he who received one went and buried and hid the master's money. The servant who received one talent buried it because he was afraid to lose it. When the master returned, the two servants received a reward, but the servant who hid the talent was punished. We sometimes, just like this servant, are afraid to use the one talent. Afraid to use the 1 hour. Perhaps he thought one talent is not enough, thinking 1 hour is not enough to work in a vineyard. Biblical stewardship means giving, not keeping. Good stewardship of time means using our time for God. Using our time for God, not worrying about the results. How little or how plenty? We must ask ourselves, how can I use my time to glorify God? Ellen White says, remember that you are to live but one day at a time, that God has given you one day. And heavenly records will show how you have valued its privileges and opportunities. That's in my life today, page 95. In closing, God is a big enough God, okay? He understands that some of us, because of the struggles of this present life, there are times when we can only give 1 hour of the day to do ministry. I really believe God understands. But we serve a God who is limitless. His power is limitless. His wisdom is limitless. His ability to multiply the results of 1 hour labor is endless. And if we are willing to work in his vineyard, 1 hour can make a difference in someone's life.
Amen.
1 hour can win souls for God's kingdom. You know, there's a song that goes, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crank, and you can win it if you go. If you go in Jesus' name. So the question this morning is, what will you do with an extra hour? May God bless us.
Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to our closing song, 212. Shall we stand?
Encouragement to all of us, and may we go now with peace. in your grace. And thank you so much for loving us and for forgiving us of our sins. We love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.